Hello there, welcome to the latest edition of Back in the Day with me, Dave Rivett. And we've put the football to one side and we're delving back into the music charts. And with me, I have my wife, Jackie Rivett.
Hello, everybody.
Good that work today?
Busy, hectic, troublesome.
God, good day then.
Can't wait to go back tomorrow.
How many cups of tea you have?
About 13.
Bloody hell, do you have any time for work? And you've got one now, haven't you?
Yeah. Well, I'm lucky because people say, oh, I'm making a cup of tea. Do you want a cup? Yep, I'll have a cup of tea. Yep, I'll have a cup of tea all day.
And what are we having for dinner as soon as this podcast is over?
Curry.
Take away, yeah.
Hey, I love curry.
Right, now, we are going way, way back further than we've ever been. We're going back to the 13th of December, 1962.
How old was you?
Eight. I was eight.
I was five.
Five. So you remember this chart quite well.
Oh, God, yeah, yeah.
But the thing is, these songs, they sort of...
You've heard them.
Yeah, some you haven't, or some I haven't, but I mean...
I mean, half of those that are played in the charts now, you'll never probably hear again.
No.
But well, these ones will keep...
Do you know any songs in the charts at the moment?
Not one, no.
No, nobody does. Right, so we're going to kick off at number 30, and we have Craig Douglas with Oh Lonesome Me. Now, do you remember that one?
Oh Lonesome Me. Yeah, that's another sort of Sunday lunchtime was on the radio. Oh, you'd be waiting for your Sunday dinner. Smell of roast potatoes. Bit of beef sizzling in the pan.
It was written by two famous people. It was written by Don Gibson and Chet Atkins. Chet Atkins was a good guitarist. I think he still is a good guitarist. Right, it's down from last week's 23 after peaking at 15. And I think that's just about as far as it should have got, really. Oh, it's all right, but I think it was... It probably hit by someone else in the States. I can't imagine Craig Douglas having hits in the States. I used to do the, I think it's the Fairy Snow adverts on telly. He used to wear like a white suit. Do you remember that? He used to sing a song while he'd done it. Yeah, I do.
We didn't have a telly. We were too poor.
Crazy. So it's just an all right song, isn't it? It's
middle of the road.
It was never going to be a number one smash, was it?
No, it filled a hole.
but I think it peaked just about the right spot. Yeah, I think 15 you're right. There. Right, number 29, down five to number 29 is Nat King Cole and Ramblin' Rose.
Rose.
He had a good voice, didn't he?
He did have a fantastic voice. Smooth as silk.
Reached number two in the US, peaked at number five in our chart. It's quite high, isn't it?
Actually, if you'd asked me, I probably would have said it went higher than that. Yeah, it's a good tune. Lots of people have done it.
I can imagine having a sing song in the pub and everyone
around the piano.
Yeah.
With their warm beer.
And even the ones who don't know the words just do the Ramblin' Rose bit. And his daughter. You liked her, didn't you, Natalie? He died a long time ago. He died in the mid-60s, something like that.
You know, there's one thing about this song that lets it down.
Go on.
It's the backing singers.
That's going to happen again in this chart.
Very high pitch. I mean, bring it down a bit. Jeez, it's just like, it's not in your face, but it's sort of, for me, it's like a migraine running in the background. So it's, you've got him smooth as silk, you've got someone marching around a gravel path. You know,
Nat King Cole and the migraines.
Yeah, exactly. It's
not a compliment, is it?
No. I just think he could have done without it. His voice is good enough without it.
Yeah. It's an okay song, but it's not one of Nat's best by a long shot.
They did like a bit of silly old backing back then, though, didn't they?
Yeah, they did, as we'll find out.
Patsy Cline had some that weren't great.
No, they were Jordanians. They were Elvis's backing band.
Yeah, no,
I thought they were right. Sort of deep voice. She didn't like them at the time.
No.
But I can see why. Yeah, I think it worked.
Sometimes I think if someone's got a good enough voice, why do you need it? You don't need it. Let's just listen to the voice that's there. Anyone agree?
Yeah, I do. Right, up two places to 28. Billy Fury with Because of Love. It reached number 18.
It's a bit cheesy, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not one of like Billy Fury, and I think he should have done more than he did.
Especially as he
wrote some stuff. He released an album in 1960 called The Sound of Fury. And it's a really good album. He wrote all the songs, and he was the first UK artist to release an album and write every song. Because they said it was the Beatles with Hard Day's Night when that came out. But then they thought, hang on a minute, what about the Sound of Fury?
Yeah.
Which I don't think it was a great commercial success, but it's...
But that's not the point, is
it's
it?
Well respected, it's well-respected in the industry.
Yes, love. Yeah. Yes,
I do like Billy Fury. I think he was great.
Yeah, but he's a bit...
Do you know his real name?
No.
Ron Witcherly.
Yeah. Not my cup of tea, I must admit. It's just... It is very much of its time and... Yeah, no, not for me.
Okay. I like it, but not... It's definitely not one of his best ones by a long chalk, but still good enough. Right. A new entry at number 27 is Maureen Evans with Like I Do. Now, this is a strange song, isn't it? Like I do, do-do-do-do, like I do. But you'll never... Yeah. It's a... I think it's a bit of a skipper. I'm honest.
Well, let's skip it then.
It peaked at number 3, would you believe?
What? Beat Nat King Cole? Jeez. He only went up to number 5.
And? I'm telling you something else. She got to number 40 in the top 40 in the UK in 1960, one of your favourite songs of all time.
Which one?
Paper Roses.
Oh, I love Paper Roses. But, I love it.
But they're only imitation. You like Marie Osmond's version,
yes, I
don't
do.
You?
I'm not a fan of the Osmonds. I'm just, it's one of my songs. I can't explain why I like it, but I've always liked it and I've never stopped. And when it comes on the radio, when we're on the car, I have to sing along with it. I did try doing it karaoke, but a bit too high for me, and I can't sing properly anyway.
It's true.
But, yeah, it is true. But, yeah, it's just a great song, that one. But, no, not this one. It's not. It's rubbish, in fact. I just feel that she, I think they said, oh, just do this one, it'll be fine, it'll fill a hole. And that's what they did, filled a hole. Well, it probably did better than she thought it was going to, I bet.
Yeah, I think so. Right, the next song, up to number 26, is, I think it was the best-selling song of the whole year.
Okay.
And it's a monster hit, I Remember You, by Frank Iver.
Frankie.
It's a good song, isn't it?
It is. It ticks along.
Didn't you know...
Bit of a mouth organ.
This is its 23rd consecutive week in the top 30, including 7 weeks at number one. Mm. Now, that's a big hit. Yeah. That's what you call it.
He was very clean cut, wasn't he? Very.
And this was his period, making all his money, because, I mean, this is first of 4 UK number ones. Lovesick Blues came next, The Wayward Wind, and Confessing I Love You. Did you remember the song I Teach You How to Yodel? Did you have yodel?
No, thanks.
Yeah, this deserves to be a number
one. Yeah, absolutely. It just, you can imagine when they're writing it, yeah, this really ticks along. It's really, it's a happy song, isn't it? It's jolly.
He could, it is like a country song, isn't it? He could get into country quite
There was a lot of mouth organ in it, but his little bit of yodely voice. Here we go.
I left you on your own there,
didn't
I?
Yes, you did. You left me hanging.
Yes, I mean, he done well in this period, 61, 62, 63. And then he just went away and that was it. But,
made his money,
went
and spent it.
Right. Stand at number 25 for a second week is Shirley Bassey with What Now, My Love. It peaked 8 weeks earlier at number 5. We like Shirley, don't we?
Well, Shirley's got a... belting voice. I mean, geez, that woman can belt out a tune. I bet she gets heard if she's in the shopping mall or at Bluewater and she was at one end shouting out, Larry! Yeah. You'd hear her, whereas you wouldn't hear me.
Climb Every Mountain. Yeah. I Who Have Nothing. They were great songs, weren't they?
What's the one where she's looking through the window?
That is I Have Nothing.
Oh, right. I love that one. Yeah, she's when we watched her, we saw one of the old Palladiums, didn't we? And she was on the Palladium, belted out this live. I mean, you know, she's not miming, belted out this tune. And it's all them flicky hand movements and the long nails before anybody else had nails and the hair. And she's just a tiny woman.
She was
woman.
A star, wasn't she?
Yeah, she was a tiny woman, but such a
She
big,
was so showbiz.
Yeah, yes, darling.
Girl from Tiger Bay.
She was. Fantastic. And this is one of those that it starts quite slow and and it gets more and more builds and builds and builds. And that's what she was really good at, to bring in the emotion. She was very full of emotion. You could sort of, you felt it, didn't you? You felt the heat.
And also, she had the two great James Bond themes, two of the best.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, if you listed the top 10, they'd both be in there, especially Goldfinger. I mean, I think that might be the best.
Yeah, so dramatic.
Diamonds Are Forever is good as well. Diamonds Are Forever. But what good would love do her? That's what I want to know.
Well, I don't know. If you've got a bucket full of diamonds, who cares?
Right, and next one, straight in at 24. The Shads.
Yeah.
Ain't Marvin. We're Ain't Marvin. Waiting for our curry.
Yeah, I'm waiting for my curry, love.
They weren't good, were they? But they...
They never changed. That was their thing. Some people would say that's a good thing, that they didn't change and expand or try something new. But the few hits that they had, you know, Apache and all that.
No, you're wrong. I think only about five people had more hits than them.
Blimey.
They really got them in there, I mean.
And yet they never sung a word.
Well, they did in the later stage. They represented Eurovision, didn't they?
I don't remember that. Were they singing in it?
Yeah, something about a moon. Matt, oh, you caught me out there. I do know it.
Think about
Magic
it.
Magic Moon Tonight. Yeah, they definitely done a song about a moon. About 1975, 76, something like that. And they come second. We always come second back in the day, didn't it? Cliff comes second twice, I think.
They're good. For their time, they were really good. That silly dance they did to every song. Good old Hank.
Well, in 6 weeks' time, this will be their fourth number one hit record. Their previous ones were Apache, Contiki and Wonderful Land. Their fifth and final UK number one will be Foot Tapper. Wonderful Land stands out.
I don't remember Foot Tapper. I'd probably know it if it was played, but off the top of my head.
But Wonderful Land's a great, great song. Yeah. I mean, I can hear that.
Apache's good as well.
Yeah, Apache's all right. They had lesser hits regularly up until about 1967. I do like The Shadows, and if I've got them on a playlist, then it comes on, I'm happy, but I don't think I could listen to like 10 on the trot.
There's lots of people that
all blend into each other.
Yeah, there's lots of people that are like that you really like their tunes, but you want to hear them one after the other.
I don't think they ever charted in the States, ever.
Really?
No. I'll try to find...
They're not rocky enough.
Well, they had the Ventures over there, didn't they? Walk, Don't Run, like very similar sound. But you think they would have sneaked a couple in, wouldn't you? But I've done a bit of research, and I don't know if I just couldn't find it, but I just couldn't find any evidence of a Shadows hit in the States.
Did they never did a tour, or they never went round the States with another band?
Well, Cliff Richard done very little over there. I think his big hits only got back number 90. That's why none of them could break through, could they? Apart from what two others in our list later on. Now, Kathy Kirby done a version with words, didn't she? Dance on. Now, we watched a programme about her a little while ago.
You did, yes.
And she done it. Someone put words to it.
Do, 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 do,
dance on. No. Mm. What? Well. Yeah, but she did. It was all right. She got a hit out of it. Yeah, she was quite big for a while, Kathy Kirby. Now, down six places, the number 23 is Little Eva with The Locomotion. Now, this song sounds as good now as it ever
Absolutely,
did back
it does.
Then.
It does.
It's a big sound, isn't it?
Yeah. And the thing is, you can still play this at parties or a wedding, and people get up and do it, and they'll stand behind each other holding their hips, won't they? Like doing a conga type thing.
Yeah.
But people always get up to it.
It peaked at number two.
Kylie did it as well, didn't she?
Yeah, it's weak.
It is a week compared to hers.
It peaked, quite a few people done it, actually. Peaked at number two, where it stayed for 3 weeks, kept off the top each week by Telstar by the Tornadoes.
Oh, wow.
And.
And.
I'm saying that. It's only when I'm on here I do that. she had a great B-side to this song, because we actually had this single when I was a kid. And the B-side was He's the Boy.
A boy that I love. Yes, he is.
Yeah, that's the one.
Wow.
Got that on quite a few playlists. I really like it. I think that's as good as this.
She's got a belting voice. She's another one that's can, you know, she's got a bit of oomph behind her, isn't she?
Yeah, she was great. She also was backing up Big D Irwin on Swinging on a Star. She's the girl in that.
Oh, is she?
Do you know that?
No.
Oh.
There's a lot of things I don't know.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
And she had a big hit with a song called Let's Turkey Trot.
Let's do it.
Come on, let's turkey trot. Yeah, let's give it all we got. Yeah, so she was good. I liked her voice. Mm. Sadly, she died in 2003, aged just 59.
Oh, very young.
Yeah.
Oh.
She was, apparently, she was Carole King. Oh, Carole King.
Yep.
But it's too late. But she was her babysitter.
Wow.
And she sort of encouraged her along.
Good for her.
Good for her, I say.
Well done, Carol.
Right. Down, we've already mentioned this chap. Down nine places to number number 22 is the John Barry Orchestra and the James Bond theme.
Classic. I mean, it just was made for it, wasn't it?
Ah, oh, it's a great tune. I mean, it's that film, a film, James Bond film could come out now and that could have been written yesterday.
Yeah, I quite agree.
It fits
it, doesn't it?
Yeah, and the thing where he walks along and
the round bit and he turns around with his gun.
Yeah, it's just, that could be brand new.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
And without a doubt, every time them first few notes come on, everybody knows what you're watching.
Only reached number 13.
Really?
Yeah.
I bet they've made a lot of money out of that since.
Oh, Christ, yeah.
Yeah, it's been going and going, hasn't it?
It did.
Who is your favourite James Bond, though?
Well, I've mentioned this in a previous one.
Have you?
Yeah. Obviously, you've forgotten.
I've got a terrible memory.
I think James Bond, Sean Connery was the bit, that iconic bit where he asks the woman's name and he said, oh, the name's Bond, James Bond, is he lighting a cigarette? I mean, that is James Bond.
In his smart suit, all clean
cut. But I think the films are that old that they look a bit cheesy now with the when he's driving the car, it's obviously a screen behind him, you know. But
well, this just goes to prove how it's moved on, because now there's so much blooming action in it, it's ridiculous.
Nobody ever
gets hurt.
I do like Roger Moore as James Bond. I think that works really well.
Didn't we go to a place where James Bond had filmed, they'd filmed Roger Moore going past in a car? It was in
Corfu. Yeah,
yeah,
it was.
We sat in a cafe, didn't we? And they said that if you watched the film...
The bloke who owned it brought all the photographs out of Roger Moore and all that in the little village. It wasn't even a village, was it?
No, it was just
a cafe in the middle of nowhere.
Cut through, yeah.
It was where he's in the old Citroen C5. Is it C5 or CV5? Yeah, he's in one of the dolly.
Yeah.
That's what we call them, isn't it? He's in one of them and the bad guys are after him. He goes, oh, we need some more horsepower. So he sort of dumps it and gets a bigger car and it crashes. That was actually filmed in that little place. We stayed there all day, didn't we?
We did. We sat there.
We didn't drink beer. I was drinking coffee, if I remember.
No, it was lovely. It was just a nice place to sit.
With another couple, wasn't it?
Up in the hills, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I forgot all about that.
Yeah.
That was good.
He had all the photographs up on the wall as well, didn't he?
Right.
Just to prove it.
Yeah, he bought some out. It got to number one in one country.
Russia.
Iceland.
Oh.
Iceland. You wouldn't credit that, would you?
No.
Right, down one from its peak position at number 20 was the Joe Loss Orchestra with Must Be Madison.
Mm. it's lift music. It's lift music.
Yeah, I mean, it's it reminds me of a jazz bar scene in the late 50s or 60s in a black and white film where they just walk into a jazz bar and this would be playing, you know.
It's just so dated.
You wouldn't expect people to go and buy it.
No. Maybe it was the older generation then. They were trying to get rid of all the rock and roll.
It doesn't really fit in with the rest of the chart,
no,
I don't think.
Certainly doesn't.
If you look at Joe Loss, he's a dead ringer of the footballer Stanley Matthews, I think.
Is he?
Yeah. You wouldn't know that.
You'll have to show me your pictures then to compare them.
Yeah. I remember when I worked at London Transport in the 70s and we had an Irish fella called Paddy Wren. And he used to have little sayings. Like if there was, he was about 60-odd and we were about 19. And he used to make comments about us being young and that. And you know, he'd say, Ah, you're a free maker, right, Imperator, if ever there was one. He's one of his. And another one is someone sort of taking the mickey out of him. He say, "Ah, oh, look at you, Joe Loss's his brother, dead." Dead Loss. It's just, he had loads of them. I can't remember the others, but yeah, it's funny. Right, into the top 20, and at 20 are the Everly Brothers with "No One Can Make My Sunshine Smile." It had peaked at number 11.
This is not one of their better known ones, I think, but it's really
song.
Good.
I think it's a good song.
The harmony's really, really good.
Well, that's what they're famous for. Yeah. Right? No one does it. Nobody does it better. Well, no one does. They were great. I've just discovered an album of theirs that came out in 1965. It got mentioned in a podcast. I've tried it, and it's really good. It's called Beat and Soul. So if anyone's out there looking for something different to listen to, Beat and Soul, Everly Brothers album, 1965. It's good. So they've done so many great songs.
Oh,
Cavi's
yeah.
Clown was a cracker, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And they influenced a lot of people for harmony. I mean,
they did, but they were arch enemies in the end, weren't they? It's like
they didn't get on like a lot of brothers. I mean, the Knopfler brothers, the Kinks. Davis brothers, Kinks, yeah. Mm. Just that was it, they just fall out. But they definitely influenced Sir Lennon McCartney with harmonising. You know,
without a doubt.
Something like this boy, you can hear it a mile away.
Yeah.
And it influenced a lot of people. It's a shame they fell out like they did, wasn't it?
Yeah, they would have gone carried on, wouldn't they?
Well, they still performed, even though they didn't get on.
It's bizarre, isn't it?
Well, I suppose.
They just sung back to back. Didn't look at each other.
Yeah, I mean, they were great. Got to number 11. Good song. Right. You know what's coming up next, don't you?
No.
I'll show you.
Yay. Can't go wrong.
Up 7 places to number 19, Love Me Do by the Beatles. It will peak at 17, their first hit. Now, there was a strong rumour, and I don't think it is a rumour, I think it's a fact, that Brian Epstein bought records from his own shop, because he was their manager, to boost their chart performance.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me.
I've no doubt that.
I bet there was a lot of that went on.
I like it a lot more than it deserves to be liked, if you know what I mean.
Is it because it's their first one? Is that what it is? It makes it more special for
them. It's not that
great
a song, yeah. But it's just got something.
But they started, that was when they started. I mean, it was never going to be that complex, was it?
Just when you hear that mouth organ, the harmonica come in, it's just, I could just like it. But
I said, you carry on liking it, love.
Well, it's
no
got
one's...
three versions with three different drummers, you know. Well, because...
Can you tell the difference?
One of them you can, yeah.
All right, okay.
When they first turned up, they're Pete Best.
Yeah.
And they recorded the song and George Martin said, no, there's no way that drummer's getting in there. It's just not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
So they sort that was when they, I think, when they realised that he weren't going to... He didn't look like one of them. He didn't have the humour of one of them. He was like... He was different to them.
Yeah.
They were the Beatles and he was... Someone who drummed for him, really. Even though he was with him a while, I mean, a few years. But he just didn't act and look like one of them.
He lacked that certain something.
Yeah, I mean, he still had the Teddy Boy sort of hairstyle, the quiff and that. And he used to go, off shows apparently, they used to go one way and he'd go the other. And they did use him because his mum had a place they could rehearse. So they sort of used him a bit. And then when they turn up next time, they had Ringo. So they get there and George Martin says, oh, I've got a drum. I've got a session drummer. You're not using your bloke. I goes, no, that's all right. We got a drummer now. No. Once bitten, twice shy, like, you know. So Andy White, bloke called Andy White, played the drums and poor old Ringo, he had to stick there with a tambourine.
Poor old Ringo.
But then when they done another version, I think for the album, the Please Please Me album. Ringo's on it. And I can't really tell the difference between the Ringo one and
maybe
the,
you've got to be a
song. But I'm not a musician.
Exactly. You need a drummer's.
But when the anthology came out in 1995, they played Pete Best's one. And, you could tell it's a thumper.
Oh, right.
It just hasn't got that
finesse.
Touch. Yeah, I mean, I think they were right to dump it myself. For more than just the drumming, for different other reasons as well.
It was just not suited.
Apparently he did earn some money from the sales of the anthology because he's on some songs, but that's good for him.
Yeah.
Don't begrudge him that. But God, can you imagine being in his position?
Yeah.
Jesus.
That must have been painful, hurtful.
Now, I've been watching the Beatles thing on Disney.
Yes, I know you have.
And I love it.
Yeah, I know you
but
do.
But I'm a big Beatles fan, so I'm going to love it. To me, it's just like watching history.
Well, it is
unfold
history.
In front of you because... Yeah.
They do talk a lot of old rubbish sometimes, though, don't they?
Oh, yeah, but you've got to remember, they're only 25, 26, 28.
Aren't they? But 25-year-olds now don't talk a load of old rubbish like
you
that.
You what? Well, you've got a 38-year-old son who talks a load of rubbish.
Well, that's true.
And it's also, it's sort of like audience participation as well. Because there's a scene where George Harrison's writing something, and he's got a... something in the way she moves, but he can't think of a next line. He's asking Paul McCartney, and John Lennon says, well, just say she wants a cauliflower, and then just carry on, and it will come back. And yes, just then, and they go over again and say, attracts me like no other, love you, Burke, you know. And it's so easy. It's quite
that's
strange.
What you like that, watching it develop and how they decided to do that.
Along a winding road. I haven't got the next bit yet.
Mm.
That leads me to your door, you fool, you know. Yeah. It's good anyway. That's enough of the Beatles. I'll talk all day about.
Maybe you should do a special.
Right, not one of your favourites. Down 8 to number 18 are the Four Seasons. It had peaked at number 8.
It's like chalk on a blackboard. It's
Sherry.
Like, Sherry, I don't like that man's voice at all.
No, people love him, though. I know. The Jersey Boys, is it?
Yeah, up in London, isn't it? It's been going for a long time, but I don't get it. It just grates on me.
Yeah, I know what you mean. He was good in The Sopranos, though. He was in The Sopranos for a little while.
Yeah.
He played Rusty Milio. Uh-huh. I love The Sopranos.
Yeah, I know you do love. Nearly as much as you love The Beatles.
I think The Sopranos is the best ever box set. I do like Better Call Saul. That's my second favourite, I think. But, yeah, I've watched it. I've never watched a series more than once, but I've watched that one 3 times.
Yeah.
And I've no doubt in about 5 years' time I'll watch
You'll
it again.
You'll watch it again, yeah.
I just think it's great. It's a shame he died, isn't it, James Gallon?
Oh, maybe. Yeah, he was brilliant, wasn't he? Absolutely brilliant. Nice. Seemed like a really nice man. He might have been really horrible, but he always came across as being nice.
Right, up 5 to number 17 is A Forever Kind of Love by Bobby V. What peak at number 13 3 weeks later. Not one of his best.
No, absolutely not. It's a bit flat compared to his others, isn't it?
Yeah, he was around a little while, but then, like all the Bobbies, he got blown away by the Beat Groups.
Yeah.
His biggest hits in the UK both got the number 3. The Night Has a Thousand Eyes, which is good. Yeah. Well, it's a better one, I think. It's Take Care of My Baby.
Yeah, Take Good Care of My Baby.
You can't be as good as the Everly Brothers, are we?
No.
Right. Up 3 places, I think, is the worst song in this chart by a considerable distance.
Oh, this is the weird one by the bloke who's not a singer, isn't it?
Well, it's Richard Chamberlain. Dr. Kildare, mm-hmm. TV's Dr. Kildare, who was very popular at the time. All the women swooned over him. With Elvis's...
That's not the one that was in the thorn, but...
It is,
it?
Yeah. That was about 10, 15 years later.
Mm.
With Elvis's hit, Love Me Tender. It's awful, isn't it?
Oh, it's all right. It's, you know, I mean, he's in tune. But not my cup of tea at all. I don't actually like it by Elvis. So
no, I find it a bit boring. It's not one of my favourites. It's a drag, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's a drone.
The Elvis one was a bit boring, but this one takes
it to another level. I'm sure they picked something better for him to have a go at.
Well, he probably did have other hits, actually.
Oh, you reckon?
I didn't look that up, but this is horrible, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not my cup of tea.
I can't imagine anyone preferring this one to the Elvis one.
No, I can't imagine anyone going out and buying it. But it's there.
He got a hit out of it, so good luck to him. Right, down one place to number 15 is a song that kind of qualifies for the first single I ever bought, even though my contribution was only tuppence. It's Mark Winter with Venus in Blue Jeans.
Which you can change the words to if you really feel like it, because everyone did.
It peaked at number 4, big hit. I like it. Very short song, about 2 minutes, one or something like that.
Could you do it karaoke?
Yeah, I probably could actually. Yeah. I like it.
With a ponytail.
Right, Eric qualifies is for the first single. It's me and my three older sisters chipped in for the money. I think it's six and threepence to buy a single. And between the four of us, we chose Venus. Look at the chart. Chose Venus in Blue Jeans. But I only had Tums, being the youngest. Well, I was only eight.
And they still let you put your share in.
Well, maybe they were Tums short. They needed me.
Oh.
I could have done a Dragons, couldn't I? I said, I'll give you my Tums, but I want 60% of the record.
Yeah.
Crack. Yeah. Good song. Very short, but it's good.
Yeah.
Jimmy Clanton reached number 7 in the US with it. I've never heard of Jimmy Clanton. Have you?
No. Never heard of him.
He was there. Right, up to the number 14 is Joe Brown with It Only Took a Minute, which would go onto peak at number 6.
See, Joe Brown, fantastic bloke, fantastic singer. Why did he do these sort of songs?
Yeah, he got caught up in these like comedy songs. Yeah,
I'm in the 8th Fire.
He didn't need to, did he?
No. We've seen him live, I don't know how many times, a lot of times, haven't we?
Must be half a dozen.
And he is absolutely brilliant live.
He's 80 now.
Is he?
Yeah.
Bless him. Hello, Joe. We come and see you again with his brothers.
This is ruined by the backing scenes.
Oh, absolutely. Another one.
Yeah,
where
all that sort of.
Yeah, don't need it. Don't need it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not the greatest song to begin with, to be fair.
But he's done some fantastic songs since. I mean, you know, since when we saw him when he was.
But most of his, I mean, A Picture of You is still good. I mean, I like that. But all the, when you go and see him live, I don't know if he's still touring now. But when we seen him up to about 5 years ago.
Yeah.
He does all the old ones, but he's got so many other songs.
Yeah, and they're brilliant, all of them.
Yeah.
Well, especially when you've got the live band there, you know what I mean? It's and when he gets hold of that
ukulele.
Yeah, when he does, you know, my favourite song.
Yeah.
I'll See You in My Dreams. His version of that is my favourite.
See you in my dreams.
It's my funeral song, just in case anyone's interested. It's perfect.
Yeah, he's brilliant. But he's best known as a guitarist. I mean, that's his forte.
Mm.
I mean, he used to back the American musicians when they come over in the UK tours early in the day, like Gene Vincent, Eddie Cochran. Only 3 top 10 hits. Should have had a lot more than that.
Yeah, I think he should have done as well. I think he was a bit understated, underrated. But why? I don't know. Maybe it's because of these silly songs that he did.
But he did do other stuff. I mean, he appeared on stage and screen. I mean, he appeared on stage with Dame Anne and Eagle.
Wasn't he in Arthur Sixpence, the film Arthur Sixpence?
No, it's Tommy Steele.
Oh, always get them too good.
But he did make some films in the early 60s. Not great films, I have to say. But we like him, don't we? He's one of our favourites.
We do, yeah. He's great live.
Up 8 places to number 13 is a song I had no knowledge of, and I don't think you did either, called Desafinado.
No.
By Charlie Bird.
A Greek meal.
It will peak at number 11. It's apparently a Brazilian bossa nova.
Mm.
And it's nothing, is it?
No, it's rubbish.
It's all sort of...
Yeah, I heard it, I've forgotten it already. That's how good it is.
Some people probably say, that's my
favourite. Yeah.
Or a couple, it's their song. Now, Desafinado in English means out of tune or off key. No shit.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, if you hear this one, you'd know why. Up 3 places, number 12 is another terrible song by Pat Boone, The Main Attraction. This is as high as it will climb. Step right up is the main attraction. Oh, I've never heard of it.
It's got like background noise in it, and it like is at a fair, and you know, step right up, and it's not even a good step right up. It's rubbish.
It's the film. I suppose the film got it to number 12 in the chart.
Yeah, which has been long forgotten as well.
I suppose if people go and see the film, you know, they must think, you know.
I remember that tune. That was really good.
I think it's a different era, though, isn't it? I mean, what seems rubbish now was probably big back then. I mean.
Yeah, I just, no.
It was a film about a young drifter who causes problems for a small European circus.
Great.
Do you know how old he is now? Mm-mm. 87.
Wow.
Pat Boone.
Pat Boone.
Right. My favourite Christmas song ever is at number 11.
Yeah.
It's great, isn't it? As soon as that bit comes on. I can hear this in July and be quite happy.
It's old-fashioned Christmas, isn't it? You know, snow and kids outside. When Christmas was proper, not like it is now.
Yeah, before they ruined it, starting in September.
Yeah, it's a great thing.
Do you know, she was only 14 when she recorded that.
Yeah, it's
amazing,
great,
isn't it?
Great,
her voice, isn't it?
Yeah.
But she did have a good voice.
She did.
Strong voice.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it will peak at number 6, and it will also reach number 9 in 2017. Continues to chart.
I bet it comes in every Christmas.
Yeah, I mean, it does.
Makes a bit of money.
So if you're an artist or a songwriter, get yourself a good Christmas song. Yeah, a Christmas song, you're in.
Yep.
Right, into the top 10 now, and at number 10... down to is Devil Woman by Marty Robbins. It peaked at number 5, not one of my favourites.
No.
It's like 24 Hours in Tulsa, isn't it?
It's, yeah, very much so. I just, no.
But this Devil Woman's after him and, taking him away. And he goes, leave me alone, I want to go home. Well, just go home.
Yeah.
She's standing there waiting for
you. She wants to run after you, then let her.
Yeah.
She's older than you. She'll never catch up.
Poor old Mary's waiting back at home.
Yeah. Go and see Mary from the dairy. But she
forgave him, apparently.
What? Mary from the dairy?
That was his good bird
in the song. Mary forgave him.
Yeah.
Because the devil woman was... Yeah, of course she did.
This was his only top 10 hit.
Yeah, you can see why.
Well, yeah, he was really big in America, though. Loads and
Isn't
loads
it
and loads
of hits. Funny
how
some people are so popular in America. We must have very different tastes.
Yeah, true. Right, down 3 to number 9 is Duane Eddy with Dance with the Guitar Man. Strangely, it will go up again the following week, the number 6, and eventually peak at number 4. So it's gone up, gone down, now it's going up again. I like it.
Yeah, it's typical Duane Eddy, isn't it? You know, it's a
Yeah. Now, personally, this is one of three songs that will always be linked in this chart for me. This Guitar Man, Rocking Around the Christmas Tree, and No One More Can Make My Sunshine Smile. Because on Christmas Day 1962, my three older sisters each received a single... And they were the three singles.
Wow.
So I can't sort of think of one without thinking of
the other two. No.
They had like a...
Did you used to borrow them and play them on your record player?
We only had one record player in the house. We got rich.
Right. I'm just checking it out, you know.
Yeah. My dad brought it home from work with a load of records with it.
What, 78s?
Well, no. LPs and singles. I remember one of them was My Ukulele by Max Byergraves.
Wow.
There was an Al Jolson LP with all his greatest hits on, so we sort of knew them as kids.
Mm.
Big sound, they always blow them up loud. The sound's really good. But these two, they had a sort of competition who would get the highest up chart. I think my sister Susan won with this.
Yeah.
Got number 4. It's a good song, this, I think.
Yeah.
It's quite clever that he's like got an instrumental. He's made it into a vocal song by putting the girl singers in there. Yeah, it's good.
Clever man. So he's got his fans, and he's also pulling in the people that like the women. That's good, yeah.
He's still around as well, 83.
Wow. Good for him.
Good for him, mate, I'll say. Right, next one, massive hit. Here we go. Remember this?
Yes, absolutely. It was played everywhere.
It was a big hit. Massive.
Yeah, we had it. It had a blue label. Do you remember the centre of the record?
Well, this was on its way down, but then decided to go up a place.
Again.
It's 14th week in the top 30, including 5 at number 1. And it's still taking a step up after all them sales. Mm. So it's the 17th best-selling single of the whole of the 1960s. So that makes it a big hit.
It does, yeah. It's good. I mean, it just takes your whizzing back, doesn't it, to when they were thinking about space travel and all that kind of thing. And making everything sort of a bit techno, really.
This was named after the Telstar communications satellite, which was launched into orbit on 10th of July 1962.
Mm.
There's quite a few facts.
Good bit of organ playing there. Yeah. All right. It is an organ. All right.
This was the first number one in the USA by a British group.
Well done, Telstar.
Yeah. Yeah. And the producer was Joe Meek. Do you know about Joe Meek?
No.
Bit of a strange.
No.
He was a bit of a strange one. He had like a homemade studio in his house.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he had the egg boxes in the walls, but something similar if he didn't. And he sort of made these homemade. Not only these, a lot of people played in his studio. I think he was already older. I went there one time. He was still going. I don't know, he wouldn't. Yeah, but that was before Noddy Older was big. It's just like mid-60s. I think there's a story in his autobiography about guy in there. But yeah, he was a strange one. But then, I was still waiting for him. My mate Howard, he had an LP of their greatest hits. And there was this. And about 19 other songs that sounded like it, but no good. They're terrible. And he used to play them on overtime, one after the other. Crazy. But he killed himself in 1967 because he had rising debts and that. And apparently, his landlady's gone about him about paying the rent. So sure, killed her. And then killed himself.
Oh.
So he got rid of the grumbling landlady. He thought, I'm going to do it, I'm going to get rid of her as well. So he did. And yet, I'm sure there's a blue plaque or a plaque on his house celebrating his life, which is a bit strange after he murdered someone.
Well, maybe she was a really irritating woman. Yeah. I don't know. It's bizarre, isn't it?
Yeah, she'd have a devil woman, I suppose.
Yeah.
Right, down two places to number seven is Chris Montez with Let's Dance.
Yeah,
he had spent 4 weeks at number two. Yeah, it's a good song, isn't it?
Yeah, I can remember jiving to this, me and my friend Ethna. We used to make up jives to it. It's quite fast. So you'd be giddy by the time.
It's good beat, isn't it? Yeah. It's unlucky to spend 4 weeks at number two, isn't it?
Yeah, what was it?
One week was Telstar, and then 3 weeks with Frank Ifield's Lovesick Blues. Now he had another big hit in the UK, 1966. I think it's even better than this, and it's called The More I See You. Do you know that one?
The More I Want You, that one.
As tears go by. Yeah. Oh, I really like this song. I think it's better than this.
The only one for me can only be you.
I've got to do it. And my heart won't free you. My heart won't try. Right. Right. Now, number six, down three, is Del Shannon with Swiss Maid. It peaked at number two. Not for me, this
one. Can we just pass over this because it's awful?
Yeah. It's a shame, isn't it? Maybe you could cash it in on Frank Ifield's Yodel.
Maybe, but it didn't work. Not for him.
But his debut single, Runaway, was a worldwide number one hit. And that's a great song, isn't it?
Yeah, so why did he go down this road?
I don't know. Maybe he's struggling for a song. Because then he followed up with number two, Hats Off to Larry, which is another good song.
Hats Off to Larry.
That's right. Yeah. And his last hit was in 1964, another good song, Keep Searching. You know that one?
I'm going to keep searching.
You know them all, don't you?
Yeah.
And if you got to keep on the run, follow the sun. Yeah, that was good. Now, did you know he had a hit in America with a Lennon McCartney song before the Beatles did?
No.
Yeah, he did. A year before. Well, nearly a year.
Do you know the song?
Yeah, From Me to You.
Oh.
He must have been touring over here in late 62, early 63. And they must have played it. Oh, I could do something with that. I've played it. It's nearly exactly the same. It doesn't bring anything new to it. It's exactly the same arrangement.
Or is it the Beatles don't bring anything new to it because they hadn't done it at that point?
Well, they might have done because they had a hit for it in sort of early to mid-63 in this country, didn't they? But it didn't do anything in America. They were trying to flog She Loves You and all that in America. Didn't get nowhere. I think they'd done the Swan Records and no success.
Mm.
And then it's Only I Want to Hold Your Hand that sort of launched them. He committed suicide in 1990.
Well, what is it with these people? These
due
people
to depression.
Got talent.
It may be singing the same three songs every concert for 30
years.
Well,
then you should have written some more or sung some different
ones. They just run out, don't they? I mean.
Yeah, I just think. so many talented people that just go the wrong way. You know what I mean? I'd give anything to be able to properly sing or read music. And it would make me really happy. And I don't understand why, you know, people like Amy Winehouse, all that talent. She wasted it taking drugs. There's so many of them. Janis Joplin, don't like her. But even so, and George Michael, I mean, why would you? So talented. So much going for you.
Yeah, I think it's different for him, though, because he started off so well, didn't he? I say his first one worldwide hit.
But he never went down the pan.
Then that's off to Larry. Well, he did, didn't he, really?
Well, only his reputation.
No, I mean, he started off so well, and then he backed out a bit with Keep Searching, and then... 26 years of next to nothing. And he must have been still touring to earn the money, and he had to go out. Mind you, a lot of them do it.
Yeah.
They go out singing it. I don't know if that's even the reason why. I mean, maybe his wife left him or something. I don't know.
No,
but I know the Traveling Wilburys, you know, George Harrison, Jeff Lydon, they done a version of Runaway as a sort of tribute to him.
Oh, that was nice.
Yeah. Right, up 13 places, a big mover. Number five is Cliff Richard with The Next Time.
Yeah, it's a great song. I'm not a Cliff fan.
He's been every one of their charts so far.
I'm not a big fan of Cliff Richard, but his early stuff is far superior to the rubbish that he came out with later on.
Hello, Sam. Goodbye, Samantha.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think what, you know, the stuff that he's...
Or is it Hello, Sam. Goodbye, Samantha? Yeah,
I'm
I think
not
it is,
sure.
Actually.
But whichever this way
This is a really good song.
This is a really good song. It is.
He sung it in his string vest in Summer Holiday, didn't he?
He did.
It was like in Greece.
Yeah.
Not Greece,
I bet he got burnt.
Now, this is a bit of a complicated song. I'll tell you why. The other side was Bachelor Boy.
Until then,
it was a double A side, but they didn't exist back in 1965. There was no such thing as a double A side. So Bachelor Boy was pressed as the B side. Next Time is the A side. Bachelor Boy B-side. But when he's put on the radio, Bachelor Boy got, because it's more catchy, isn't it?
Yeah.
That got more popular, so then they switched it and made that the A-side. So Bachelor Boy came up the charts. But then, I don't know when the film they come out and people like The Next Time, people going in and asking the record shots for The Next Time.
Yeah.
So then they flicked it over again. So I don't know if there was people went in and asked for The Next Time, they got it home and Bachelor Boy was on the other side and they already had it. You know? That must have happened. But it's one of them strange things.
It's a good song, though. I really like it.
Do you know
it.
Some countries listed them as two different songs and people, so they, like Bachelor Boy will be number four, The Next Time will be number seven. Even though it's on the same record, it's mad, isn't it? But it's the way things were done back then, I suppose. But this is a really good song.
Yeah, I love it.
It's probably his best one, I think.
I think it is. It's better than all the rubbish he came out with.
I like Summer Holiday, the song.
Yeah, well, it's kind of become
a classic.
It
just reminds you of Garland Holiday, doesn't it? I mean, that's why.
In a bus, yeah.
Travelling Light, I thought, was a really good one of his.
Yeah.
I mean, The Young Ones is pretty good. Gee Whiz, It's You. I do like one of them early ones. It's when he got into the mid-60s.
Yeah, when he found the Lord. Yeah. And it could
I don't know if that was the reason, but.
Well.
Right, you know what's at number four, didn't you?
No. I wanna be Bobby's girl.
Right, stand at number four after peak at number three is Bobby's Girl by Susan Maughan. It spent 9 weeks in the top 10. It's a good song, isn't it?
Yeah. And it was. It sort of reminds me of Holiday for us. It shouldn't, but it does. Uh-huh. We've got a son, obviously, those that you listen to us regularly know, we've got a son called Bob. And so, obviously, the woman in his life, this is where I say, oh, this is your song. This is your song.
That's what it is.
Yeah. And, but yeah, it just, when we used to go on holiday to Corfu before COVID and all that, we're going back again. Yeah. There was a woman that always used to sing it on the karaoke night,
That's
didn't she?
Right, yeah.
Always sung it. Sometimes she was on her own and sometimes she had a couple of her friends with her. But she did the same song every single time. And we went there for 3 years on the trot and she was there every 3 years, did the same song.
Oh, God, here she comes. Yeah. Yep. It weren't Susan Moon, by the way.
No, it wasn't. Definitely not.
Do you know my favourite part of the song? You know, didn't you? You're not a kid anymore. Now, she had two, her only other success in the charts was two minor hits. Hand a Handkerchief to Helen got to number 41, and She's New to You got to number 45 the following year. I wonder if Hand a Handkerchief to Helen is about Helen Shapiro, because she was big at the time.
She have a cold?
I don't know. Or maybe she's crying. I don't know what makes you think that. I've read it somewhere or heard it somewhere, but...
Well, usually it's based on something with you and your brain.
Yeah, my brain. Yeah. Right, up to number three for number seven, Sunrise by Rolf Harris. It was its peak position.
Well, look, I know we're not allowed to speak about him anymore, but many, many years ago, back in the early 70s, I went on holiday with my mum to Bournemouth because I wasn't allowed to go on holiday with Dave because...
We weren't married,
yeah. We weren't allowed to. So I had to go into Bournemouth with my mum, and we went to the show on the pier one night, and he was there, and he did a painting with, like, decorating paintbrushes, you know, great big sloppy ones.
Yeah, he's famous for that, wasn't he?
Yeah. And he did this fantastic picture. I mean, I was always sort of into art, and I liked the way
people... Do you
know what
it is yet?
Yeah. Well, he did. He used to say that a lot. And then... while he was doing painting it. And then he'd sing a song, and quite often it was this song with the two sticks banging together. Yeah. Sunrise, bringing, and it was very atmospheric, and I really enjoyed it. Yeah, all right, he's been a naughty boy, but I can't wipe that from my memory because it was just...
You used to love Animal Hospital as well.
I did. I loved it when he did Animal Hospital. Now they're not on anymore. Naughty boy.
Well, but, it wasn't anymore anyway. It had run its course.
No, I know. It had run its course. But
a bit like Rolf. He's run his course.
Yeah. Shame, really.
I saw him in real life, you know.
So did I on the stage in Bournemouth?
No, I saw him close up. He actually came to our school when I was a kid. William Penn School, South East London. Saw him in about 69. He came along. Like an open day. Yeah, you see it, right?
Well, where I worked as well, we all went over to this. They built a new station not far up in London, not far from our office. And we heard that Rolf was doing a picture, a huge picture to put up on the wall outside. So we all went to watch him unveil it. And it was a beautiful painting. It's gone now. Gone. Where's all the artwork that he did? Is it
all
been
burnt?
Well,
he done that picture for the Queen. And
he did.
That disappeared. I thought it was a great picture.
It was. It was
better
really
than all the others, by a mile.
Yeah.
Anyway, number two, down from number one, where it spent the last 5 weeks, is Frank Ifield with Lovesick Blues, previously a massive hit for Hank Williams. It's all right, isn't it?
It's okay.
I got a feeling of the blue.
Yeah,
I mean, it's not as good as I Remember You, by a long shot. But number one, 5 weeks.
Yeah.
Well, I suppose on the back of I Remember You, I suppose.
Probably.
Only reached number 44 in the States.
Yeah, maybe they're not into yodeling.
Maybe they're not. Oh, I think I Remember You was a big hit over there. But
he was British, wasn't he?
He's Australian.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, okay. A bit like the previous one.
Yeah.
Right, you know what's number one in our chart, didn't you?
No. Return
to Sender. Up to number one from number two is Return to Sender by Elvis Presley. It will stay on top spot for 3 weeks. It will be the Christmas number one of 1962.
No, I'm not an Elvis fan. I never have been. And this song is ridiculous because he sends the letter and the following morning it comes back. I mean, I've never known a postal service like it.
Oh, he sent it by boomerang.
Oh, I don't know what he sent it by, but flipping heck, that was the fastest, because it comes around. So he posts it at lunchtime, right? He's gone down for a bit of a pie and chips. Gone down, posted it on his way for his pie and chips and a quick pint. Goes home, and in the morning when the postman arrives, it's come back. I mean,
bright and early next morning. Yeah. Bright and early next morning.
Yeah, saying Return to Sender.
Maybe
I don't
think
it's
better in America.
Or
is,
maybe
here.
The postman went, don't like him, I'm not going to send this. I'm just put Return to Sender on it and put it back through his letterbox. How did he know where he lived? Return to Sender. Was he writing his address on the back of the letter?
Oh, maybe. Yeah, Return to Sender. You used to write there.
Yeah.
name and address. People do that now, don't they?
We do at work, yeah.
You reached number two in the States. Do you know what? Knocked it off about top spot.
Was it Beatles?
No, that's too early for Beatles. Four Seasons. Big Girls Don't Cry.
Don't like it.
They don't cry.
Yeah, all right. It's a headache on legs. It's just horrendous.
Now, to me, this is the worst Elvis period. Yeah, he was great for about 55 until he came out of the army. Yeah, Heartbreak Hotel, Don't Be Cruel, Teddy Bear. It's just great. One song after another. Great, great, great songs. And then after he came out, he'd done all this sort of stuff. Return to Sender, Crying in the Chapel.
But someone must
Wooden
have
Heart was yeah, the one of the worst. Yeah. I've got people a wooden leg. Like that song.
Yeah, but I think he's someone must have said to him, like, yeah, stay away from that sort of stuff. Let's try this. Let's just try it. And he did, and he embraced
he
got, it.
He went from rock and roll to pop, didn't he?
Yeah.
And to see him up on stage singing this, twisting.
Yeah.
Oh, Elvis, what are you doing, mate?
Yeah, you're losing all your style and your cool panache. Yeah.
And then he sort of gave up altogether with this, and he came back in the old 1968 comeback.
That's when he discovered burgers.
Well, no, he was all right up to 68. I mean, that's when he looked his best, I think, in that comeback.
He was handsome man.
The black leather suit on. And
handsome man. His hair. How did he ever get that fringe to stay
And then
back?
After that, yeah, great song, like Suspicious Minds. Wonder of You is great.
Yeah. What's the football one? What? Always footy one.
Football? What, Elvis?
Yeah.
You mad?
No, it's not about football, but they play it for football.
No idea. You had a dream.
No, it's not a dream.
I had a dream.
When it comes on, I'll say to you, this is the football song.
I think you will. I've got a clue what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Obviously.
I always think of football for it.
Not a little less conversation.
That's the one.
What's it got to do with football? Why did I say that?
It was played at some football.
Was it?
Yeah.
A little less conversation, a little more action.
We had that on the word.
A little more action in me. But he was great, Elvis, wasn't he?
He was great. He weren't my cup of tea.
He's probably the biggest solo star of all time.
You reckon?
Yeah, he's bigger than Michael Jackson.
Really?
Yeah.
No.
Bigger than Elton John.
Not in my book.
Bigger than Tom Jones.
And where's Mick Hucknall? He should be up there
as well.
He's
not a solo artist, is he?
Well, he is.
He's Simply Red.
Well, yeah, but he does do his own stuff. But
yeah, yes. He's definitely the biggest solo star of all time. Some people say the biggest star.
I suppose he's the most recognisable, isn't he? You could show a picture of him to anybody and everybody would know who he is. You know, go to a little village in Vietnam.
Yeah, it'd be like the Muhammad Ali of pop music.
Yeah, yeah.
I just don't think who else could challenge him as a solo artist. I can't think of anyone. Ed Sheeran?
You don't like Ed Sheeran, do you? God,
I'm going.
Come on, wakey wakey.
Oh, I nearly went then. Yeah, he is the biggest, isn't he?
I suppose he is.
He must be the biggest.
But I've never really warmed to him.
Yeah, but you say that, but we've been to Elvis tribute nights.
We have.
And they're just song after song.
You sing along, yeah.
He goes on and on this.
Especially you've got a few drinks inside, don't you? You just do.
Yeah.
And you start doing all the actions, don't you?
I don't think you can ever knock him, really. I mean, he had his bad spell about 62 to 67. But even there, you'll probably find a couple of good ones in there somewhere.
Yeah, there probably are.
But he was the business. Right, yeah. I think we're done. I think we're cooked.
Oh, can we go and have our curry now?
Yeah, I think it was a good chart. You know, there's a couple of duffos in there, but overall it was okay. You know, Sydney, it's sort of like, you know.
But it's like all the others. There's always a duffo in there or one we've never heard before.
59 years ago, that chart.
Is that all? Seems like only yesterday.
Yeah, I suppose so. Right, thanks for everyone Not me. Listening.
Thanks to me.
Thanks to you.
Oh, thank you.
Right, if you have any comments, put them in the Back in the Day with Dave Rivett group page on Facebook. Music by Ben Sound. We'll see you later.
Bye, everybody. Bye. Take care now.